All God's people said, amen. Thank you so much, choir, for wonderful praise time this morning. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the gospel, turn with me to the book of Exodus. And as you're turning there, our children are excused to go to children's worship. And this morning, we are in the book of Exodus. I'm so used to saying the gospel of Luke. I just had to go there, but in preparation for this morning and in thinking about today and this special day of the year, as we recognize our mothers, I felt God leading me to pause, to interrupt our message series on the Gospel of Luke, and to encourage and to serve our mothers. And I also felt a leading to go back to the Old Testament. We've been in the New Testament for several months now as we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. And I know that there is so much that we can learn from the Old Testament as well as the New. And so this morning we're going to go back to the Old Testament. And I know that all over the nation today, there are pastors and preachers who are sharing the truths of God's Word, and some of them are preaching from the book of Proverbs. You know Proverbs 31, and that wonderful passage of Scripture that has so much meaning to it. However, I know that many times I've heard people say that whenever they hear a message on Proverbs 31, they walk away feeling completely discouraged, because that picture, Proverbs 31, is so amazing that it kind of deflates some people. I read this past week a description of what sometimes comes to mind when we think about Proverbs 31. And I just want to share this with you. It said that a Proverbs 31 woman, what a lady. This wonder woman gets up before dawn and stays busy until the early hours of the next morning. We have developed a mental image of her. She has the looks of a movie star, the domestic abilities of a master chef, the stamina of a world-class athlete, the intellect of a professor with a PhD, the tenacity of a political operative, the wisdom of a godly missionary, the sensitivity of Mother Teresa, the business sense of a Fortune 500 executive, the grace of an etiquette expert, and the spirituality of Virgin Mary. No wonder so many mothers leave discouraged on Mother's Day. I also know that there may be some people that are preaching this morning on some familiar mothers from the Bible. I remember many times hearing messages on this particular day about Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel. I'm sure that there's probably some people around the country, around the world, that are preaching this morning about Eunice, the mother of young Timothy. However, I want to direct your attention this morning to a mother who may not receive quite as much familiarity as the others. However, I believe that this is a mother who shows us incredible faith, who shows us incredible determination. And so I want to show you this morning and teach about Moses' mother. And her name is Jochebed, and which literally means the Lord of my glory. And as I said, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to exhort you this morning. I want you to know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is available to you to assist you in the incredible task that has been given to you. And so, as you look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to stand in just a moment to read it together. It's interesting that the book of Exodus is written by none other than Moses himself. And in some ways, Moses has enshrined his mother for us to read this morning in the pages of a book that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What she did around the birth of her son Moses and the tremendous faith that she displays for the world to see is a great encouragement, and I believe a personal challenge for all of us this morning. Whether we're mothers or fathers or just people who are here today, there are some truths that can be found from Jochebed's life that I believe are transferable to all of us. And so with that in mind, let me encourage you to stand with me this morning in honor of reading God's word. And we will be looking this morning at chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. I think we have the wrong verses on the screen, so just listen and listen. Read along. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took at his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could not hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And while her young women walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today and for your word. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to understand your word, and God, help us to be able to apply it to our lives. Father, I pray this morning for the mothers that are here, and Father, for the parents and grandparents. Father, I just pray that this would be an encouraging message, but also a challenging message as we think about the incredible responsibility that you have given to us as parents. Father, I pray that you would allow your word to speak to our hearts by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, I want to show you four truths about Jochebed. I want to show you four truths, and I've titled the message, "The Ministry of Mom," because there is a ministry that takes place here. There is a ministry that takes place, and this is a ministry that I believe that every mother that's here, whether you're just getting started or your children have already left, you're still a mom, and you still have responsibilities. And so this morning, we're going to look at four of these traits, four of these truths that I think we can find from this wonderful passage of Scripture. Number one, I want you to see the distractions that she faces. I want you to see the distractions that she faces. And in order to do that, we need to go back to chapter 1. We need to go back to chapter 1 and consider the context in which this passage of Scripture was written. Consider what was going on around and near the time in which this passage of Scripture was written. When you go back to chapter 1, you realize a few things. First of all, you realize that Joseph has died. Joseph has died. Joseph was an important figure in the early days. Joseph was an important figure. The Bible says in verse 6, "Then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all of that generation." And so Joseph, his brothers, that entire generation is dying off. Verse 7 says, "The people of Israel were fruitful, and they increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them." And then look at verse number 8, because this is key. "Now there arose a new king over Egypt," and underline these words, "who did not know Joseph." You see, whenever the Bible says that this new king, this new Pharaoh who comes into power, this new person who takes over control, when the Bible says that he did not know Joseph, that is telling us that this Pharaoh, this new person that's on the scene now, not only does he not know Joseph, he does not know Joseph's God. He does not know the God in which Joseph served, the God in which Joseph worshiped. When the Bible says that he did not know Joseph, The Bible is telling us that this Pharaoh, this new king, this new ruler, does not understand the things of God. Can you see the similarities? Can you see the similarities between the society in which Jochebed came into to bring Moses up and the similarities in today? We are living in a society, we are living in a nation today that does not know Jesus. We're living in a time and a day when we begin to talk about the Bible, when we begin to talk about old-fashioned values, when we begin to talk about mothers who love Jesus and want to serve Jesus and want to worship Jesus, others will look at us with a funny look. It used to be okay. It used to be people didn't think differently about us, but now, today, in our society, we are living in a day and an age when people do not know Jesus. And so there were distractions that she was facing. There were distractions that she was encountering. And listen, friends, if you are with us this morning and you were fortunate enough to be raised by one of these mothers who, even though she was facing great distractions, even though she was facing great obstacles, then you are blessed indeed. And even though you may be here this morning and your mother has already gone on to be with heaven, I hope that you will take some time today to thank God for her influence. Thank God that despite the distractions that she faces, she determined in her heart to bring up children that loved Jesus. Another distraction that she faced was paganism. The Pharaoh that came into existence, the king that came in over Egypt, believed in paganism. We say, what does that mean? Basically, it means that he believed in that there were more than one God. He believed that there were multitudes of gods. He believed that there was multitudes of gods. They did not believe in Jehovah. They did not believe in the one true God. They had every kind of God, little g, that you could imagine. And listen, because of their belief, because they had all these other gods, these little gods, these make-believe gods, because they had all of these other gods, the value of life was not very high. In fact, I would say that the value of life was cheapened. In fact, human life was very, very cheap. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says, come, let us deal shrewdly with them. This is the people of Joseph who are multiplying. Let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. Let me just stop right there and say this. That is a wonderful description of what happens in the church today. Whenever, it's interesting, when you go to foreign countries, when you go to places like China, and places where the gospel is being repressed, where the gospel is being beaten down, every time that happens, the more they are oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread. The gospel continues to spread in the midst of that situation. Look at verse 12. The Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Then the king of Egypt had an idea. He says to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shimra and the other Puah, when you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. What did I say a moment ago? A moment ago I said they believed in a multitude of gods. As a result of their belief in a multitude of gods, the human life was cheapened. A human life became very cheap. And here is proof of that. They said, basically, listen, whenever there's a child that's born, if it's a son, kill that child. If it's a daughter, let her live. Again, I can see so many similarities in the culture in which Moses was born and in our culture today. You ask people today, Do you believe in God? And most of them will say, which one? Which one are you talking about? Tolerance is the name of the game today. People believe in all different types of true God. People do not believe in the one true Jehovah God. People will look at us and say, well, Muhammad is just the same as Jehovah. Or they'll say, Buddha is just the same as Jesus. And as a result, there is a devaluing of life. I believe that you can go back and you can see the devaluing of life goes all the way back to what we believe about God. It's happening today. We read this story and we think, man, how in the world could that happen? How in the world could they get away with killing all of those babies? I can take you down to China today where there's still a one-child policy. And not only that, but today there's something called ultrasound. And whenever the Chinese women, when they take an ultrasound and they find out that their baby is a girl, they'll immediately have that girl aborted. One child policy. Same thing happens right here. Distractions. Situation that she was coming into. Now, I mentioned that we're talking about distractions, and there's one more distraction that she's facing. There's one more burden that she is about to bear, and we go to chapter 2 to discover what that is. In chapter 2, the Bible says that she conceived, verse number 2, the woman conceived. Jochebed and Amram are the parents of Moses. We know from reading the remainder of the book of Exodus that they had two other children. They had a daughter by the name of Miriam, and they had a son by the name of Aaron. Now she is pregnant for the third time. While the text doesn't come out and say it, I can imagine that she's a little bit distressed. I can imagine that she is probably more than just a little bit distressed. She is consumed. She is concerned about what is going to happen to this child that she is carrying. Now again, they didn't know what the child was going to be. You know, we can go down today to a doctor or have an ultrasound done, and, you know, they can tell you it's going to be a boy, it's going to be a girl, whatever it is. She had no clue. And so all this 9 months, the time that's supposed to be an exciting time, a time that's supposed to be a happy time, she has distress. She is concerned because she doesn't know what's going to happen. If it's a girl, okay, no problem. But if it's a boy, what's going to happen? I mean, the Pharaoh has already given this decree that all the boys that are born are to be thrown into the crocodile-infested Nile River. So what's going to happen? Well, it's a time of grief. It's a time of anxiety. Finally, the day of the birth arrives. I can just picture this scene as the midwife is there and the baby is born and the midwife takes the baby over and begins to clean the baby up and clean it and get it ready to present to the mom. And as she's doing that, Jochebed hollers out that question. The question that she's been dealing with this whole time. The question is it a boy or is it a girl? Because she knows what's going to happen. She knows what the consequences are if it's a boy. And finally, the midwife hollers out and tells her those words. It's a boy. The distractions that she's facing. What distractions are we facing this morning? I wonder what distractions you're facing today. What distractions are going on in your life today when you think about the culture in which we're trying to bring our children up, when we think about the paganism in which we find ourselves living in, when we think about all of these things that are coming into our lives, what types of distractions are we facing this morning? As I look at this woman's life, as I think about this story, I see so many similarities in the day in which she lived and the day in which I live and you live. There are distractions all around us. And the question is, what are we going to do about these distractions? Well, let's follow along and see what she does. Number two, I want you to see the determination that she displays. The determination that she displays. The Bible says in verse number two that she bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Now, the Bible says that she looked at this baby and she saw that he was a fine child. Some translations, many translations says that he was a beautiful child. I've been to a number of hospitals over the years and been able to be there whenever children are born or shortly thereafter. And I've got to tell you, every child I've ever seen, I have to tell the parents that they are beautiful, all right? That I've never seen an ugly baby. They're just beautiful, all right? And Jochebed looks at this baby and she sees this. It's beautiful. But I want you to listen to this verse. It's very similar. It's in Acts chapter 7, verse 20. You might want to turn there because it tells us a little bit more about Moses. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse number 20, at this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. I want you to go back to verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20, at this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. You see, I believe that whenever Jochebed looked into the face of her baby, yes, he was a beautiful child, but I believe that whenever she looked into the face of her baby, she realized that this child was special to God. God doesn't make any accidents. She looked at that child. She knew somehow, some way, she knew that that child had a special destiny. That child had a special plan from God. So what does she do? She is determined that she is not going to throw him into that river. And so she hides him for 3 months, which when I read that amazes me. All right? I've got two children. If you have children, you know that is amazing. Anybody ever tried to hide a child for 3 hours? She hides this child for 3 months. I mean, can you just imagine what those 3 months must have been like? You know? I mean, the child starts yelling, starts screaming. Shh, let's keep him quiet. Give him something. Give him a bottle. Give him a pacifier. Give him something. Make him quiet. 3 months she hides him. And then, finally, the time comes where she can't hide him anymore. She makes a determined decision, verse number 3, a determined decision that her child was going to live. She was determined that he was not going to die in the Nile River. She makes a decision, verse number 3. She says, when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket. She makes a basket, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds of the river bank. Bible says that she made a basket. She made a little boat, okay? If you will, she made an ark. A small ark, not a big ark, but a small ark. And she puts that into the river. Every time you read in the Bible about an ark or a boat, it is always a picture of safety. She determines that if her little baby is going to go into the Nile River, he is going to go into the Nile River and in the safety of an ark. And here's something very interesting. As I studied this passage of Scripture, many times I've read this in the past, you've read this in the past, we think about her taking that baby, putting him in the ark, and just kind of pushing him along. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that she took him and she placed him. She placed him very specifically. She placed him among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. You see, listen, I want you to hear this. I believe that Jochebed had a plan. I believe that Jochebed had watched the process. She had watched for days. She had seen how the Pharaoh's daughters had come to that spot. She put baby Moses in exactly the spot where he could be discovered. And then she watched what was going to happen. Listen, she was determined. And that determination was on display. Listen, we want to shelter our children. And in many ways, we need to shelter our children. And we do everything in our power to take care of them. But there comes a time when they must step out on their own. Sooner or later, they will step out into the culture. Sooner or later, they will step out. And the best thing that we can do for our children is to put them into the safety of the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best thing. It's more important than the clothes that you put on their back. It's more important than the college savings fund. The best thing that we can do for our children is to put them in the safety and the ark of the Lord Jesus. Some of you raise roses or some other type of flower. And you know that it takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of determination for those roses or those flowers to become beautiful. You have to cultivate them. You have to fertilize them. You have to trim them, care for them. They're not going to become pretty roses on their own. If you just leave them on their own, they're going to get wild. They're going to grow wild. And the same thing is true as it comes to raising our children. If we want them to grow and to love Jesus, we must be determined. Determined is what we see in Jochebed's life. Number three, I want you to see this. I want you to see the dedication that she instills. You know the story. The sister of the Pharaoh, the sister Miriam, is standing by. She's watching everything that takes place in verse 4. The daughter of Pharaoh comes down to bathe at the river, and she sees in the reeds a basket. And she picks up the basket, and as she's looking at the basket, she sees that the baby is crying. Now, there's nothing like a baby that's crying. Just tears at your heartstrings, right? That's what happens. This baby is crying, and it tears at her heartstrings. She has pity on him. She says, this must be one of the Hebrews' children. And so she goes and she says, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women? This is Miriam comes. Miriam is Moses' sister. Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter says, go. So what does she do? She goes and she finds Moses' mother. And I love verse number 9. Take this child, she says, away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Wow. Think about that. I mean, these Hebrews, they were slaves. Slaves didn't make any money. But yet here is this woman who has just given birth to Moses. She has raised him for 3 months. She has all this faith, all this trust in God. She puts him out there, and then she gets him back, and she gets to be paid for taking care of him. Now, if that doesn't show us God's grace, I don't know what does. Bible says that she nursed him. She knows that she only has a few short years to put some dedication into Moses' heart. She knows that she only has a few short years to put some faith into his heart. The word nurture means to rear, to means to educate or to train. Let me tell you something, mothers. Let me tell you something, fathers. We only have a few short years. We only have a few short years, and it goes by way too fast. And I see some people that are nodding their heads right now. They know. They've been there. They know that it goes by too fast. That's why we must have dedication, that we're going to make sure that while we have these children for just a short amount of time, we're going to do all that we can to train them and to teach them things of God. I remember hearing a story about a evangelist by the name of Bud Robinson. And Bud Robinson was preaching one time, and a lady came forward after the service and said, Uncle Bud, she said, God has called me to preach. She said, what should I do? He looked at her, he said, really? Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your family. What is going on with your life? She said, well, I've got 12 children at home. He looked at her, he said, well, praise the Lord. He's not only called you to preach, he's given you a congregation. Hey, friends, you've got a congregation. It doesn't matter if it's one or two or five. You have a congregation. You have been given a purpose. And I want to encourage you this morning to train and to teach your children the things of God. Now, we don't know exactly what Jochebed talked to Moses about. But I just use some imagination for a moment. Because when you look at Moses' life, and you see some of the decisions that he made throughout his life, I think it's clear that Jochebed had to have told Moses a couple of things. I think that Jochebed told Moses that he was special. She reminded him that he was somebody. Let me encourage you, friends. Speak words of encouragement to your children. Speak words of encouragement to them. Speak words that are positive to them. Speak words that are uplifting to them. Tell them that they are special in God's eyes, because there is a world that is out there that is telling them the complete opposite. And so as you have those few years, as you have those few months, as you have the time to pour into your children, tell them that they are somebody special to God. And then number two, I believe that she was teaching Moses who God was. She was teaching him who God was. Can you hear her? Moses? Moses. Our God is not the God of the Egyptians. Moses, our God is the creator of the universe. Moses, he created everything and everything that is within the universe. Moses, there is only one God like our God. He is the Lord God Almighty. Listen, we must never stop teaching our children the things of God. Not only that, we must not leave that up to the church to teach them the things of God. Allow the church to come alongside you and to assist you, but the primary responsibility of teaching belongs to the parents. I would encourage you this morning to show dedication in the job that God has given to you. Last of all, I want you to see the decisions that she influences. The decisions that she influences. Because the inevitable day came. The inevitable day came. Can you just imagine it? Imagine that. The day comes where it's time for Jochebed to turn over her son. To turn him over to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 10 says, when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. The time had come. It was time to leave the house. It was time for him to go and to be with Pharaoh. How was it that day? The only thing I have to compare it with is whenever I put Kayla and Alyssa on the school bus for the first time. And I was crying all the way there. I mean, it was just a... I know there's going to come another day, probably, whenever they go off to college or maybe go off to become a missionary somewhere. It's going to be difficult. Imagine Jochebed getting ready to take Moses, baby Moses, and hand him over to a situation that was completely pagan, a situation that was completely against the things that she had been teaching him. I can almost hear her as she takes Moses and hands him over to Moses' daughter, as she says to Moses, Moses, remember who you are. Moses, remember who God is. Moses, know that I'm always praying for you. Going off to an entirely different life. He's going off to an entirely different society. We read in the book of Acts in chapter 7 that he was going off to a different place. He was going off to a different education. He was going off, and all of these things were going to be flooding into his life. He was going to eventually rise to become the prince of Egypt, almost second in command to Egypt. And then that one day came. I know we're fast-forwarding, but one day finally came where Moses is out there standing in the wilderness, and he looks up and he sees a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. and he hears God's voice calling to him, and God's voice says, Moses, you are the chosen one. You are the one that I've chosen to lead my children out of Egyptian bondage. And I believe that when Moses heard those words, he remembered his mom. Remembered that dedication that she showed to him. Remembered those words that she spoke to him. And listen, Moses made a decision. Moses made a critical decision at that juncture in his life. He decided that he was going to take up that responsibility. He was going to be the one who would lead those children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Listen, moms and dads, we have a tough job. I know we have a tough job. Distractions are everywhere. It takes determination. It takes the dedication. But the decisions that you influence could change the world. Did you hear that? The decisions that you influence. Those 18 years that God gives those children to you to raise and to nurture and to raise up, those years could lead to decisions that could change the world for eternity. Nobody knows except God. You could be raising a missionary. You could be raising a missionary right now who eventually take the gospel to a people group that has never heard the truth of God's word. You could be raising right now a future Billy Graham, a future pastor or teacher. You could be raising right now the next president of the United States, Supreme Court justice, that could make an eternal difference. Understand this morning the incredible responsibility. Understand this morning the incredible decisions that we have to influence. And while we're talking about decisions, the best decision, the most important decision that every one of us has to make is that we'll follow Jesus. That we'll put Jesus first. That we'll make sure that our lives, that our families are built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Moms, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, what an important decision that would be today. Children, the greatest Mother's Day gift that you could give to your mother is to allow Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life and to make him the Lord of your life. But don't do it just for your mom. Do it for him. Do it because of what Jesus has done for you. Do it because Jesus died upon the cross. He rose again on the third day, and he calls us to a life of following after him. Jochebed. It's interesting. We don't hear much else about her. Don't really follow. She doesn't appear very much else in the Bible until you get to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is what many people call the hall of faith. I mean, Hebrews 11, there's all these wonderful men and some women that are scattered throughout that list of names who have people that have gone on before us, people who have lived the life, who have lived a life of faith. And right there in the middle of the hall of faith is a woman, the mother of Moses. An incredible story and profound truths that I pray will speak into your heart this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the example, for the story of Jochebed. Father, I pray right now for moms and dads that are here today. Father, I pray that you would challenge us. Father, encourage us that we would be determined, that we would be dedicated, Father, despite the distractions around us, that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will do all that we can to raise the precious children that you have given to us to love you. Father, I pray for those who may be here today that are trying to do it on their own. Father, I pray for those today that are trying to do it on their own power, by their own strength. Father, I pray that today they would surrender to Jesus. They would surrender to Jesus and say, I can't do it alone. I need your grace and your power to do it through me. Father, I pray that right now that you would begin to speak to our hearts. Father, help us to make decisions that will impact eternity for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing together? God's spoken to your heart about a decision that you need to make, a recommitment that you need to make. I'll just stand right down front to receive you if you need to come and want to come. Let's listen to God speak to our hearts right now through his word, through what we have heard this morning. Let's listen to God speak.